Last week we were talking about our ways and God, and we kind of ended on this note and it's summed up in 1 Peter chapter 3. Let's read this together. He says to sum up. Now, he's saying this. I'm just getting started. I'm not summing up right now, okay? So he's summing up what he's saying here. He says to sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. We're called to this. And so we spent some time talking about this last week, and decided we're just going to go into a little mini-series here. Look at it, because, okay, if we're to bless, what does it mean to bless? How do I do that? I mean, okay, it means that if I'm insulted, I don't insult back, but just because I don't do the negative doesn't mean I'm engaging in the positive, because I don't know about you, but I want every blessing that God has, bring it here. I need all the help I can get. So our calling is to be a blessing and to bless even under duress. Plus, when we do, it ricochets back all over me when I bless others through giving, sowing and reaping. So how do we bless? Well, let's just start with the word in this particular context, okay? The word bless in this context of you're being treated evilly, you're being insulted, blah, 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 whatever it is that's going on, people are being people. Bless means to speak well of. It means to speak well. It means to speak wellness into people and situations, to speak good into it. Where there is bad, you're going to speak good into it. It's to ask, to pray for God to bless. I think I read that somewhere. Somebody said, who was that? Pray for those who despitefully use you. You remember who said that? Jesus. Oh, yeah, there we go. Okay, all right. So how do we do that? Well, we're going to look at one particular way of blessing today, and then next Sunday we're going to take up another way, but it has to do with the things we say, because it means to speak well, to prosper, speak good into people. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, your words, and those who love it will eat its fruit. There's power in what we speak when we do it in faith. I want us to examine the power of our tongues to speak blessing as well as cursing. Beginning, just look at the terms again. I mean, to curse, cursing. A lot of times we usually think of this in terms of profanity, saying cuss words or blasphemy or hateful words spoken, but we're going to see that it's so much more than that. And then again, to bless, to speak blessing. Most of the time we as believers, followers of Jesus, we come together like this in our time of worship. We bless the Lord in what we sing, what we say. So we think of it in terms of praise, in blessing the Lord. But ultimately, to bless, it's about the flow of what comes out of your mouth. It's about the flow of life. Life can flow out of your mouth. Or death can flow out of your mouth, because death and life are in the power of the tongue. Life flows through the words of people who know the Lord. Now, the vast majority of you're going to say, well, Pastor, I know the Lord. I know the Lord, and I'm surrounded by a bunch of idiots, but don't tell me I don't know the Lord, because my problems are all wrapped up in these idiots that I have to work with and that I live with, and, we go on and on. And see, that's what I'm saying. Everybody claims to know, I know the Lord. But when I say that life flows from people who know the Lord. These are people that are into God's Word, opening up so that the author of the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit, begins to move upon you such a way that you begin to see people and situations differently, a different perspective. You are not well. You get some idiot in your face saying all kinds of garbage. You just need to realize what Scripture said. This person is not well. And I'm going to speak wellness into you. Now, I wish I had time to illustrate every kind of an example, because there are times when people are saying all manner against you, there are times to simply shut your mouth and say nothing. Isn't that what Jesus did when he was before the Sanhedrin on trial before they crucified him? It wasn't because he was afraid he was going to say something, I'd like to say something to you, but no. He just let the course of things take place, because that's where he was supposed to be at that time and so forth. But there are times that we need to do that. But generally speaking, we need to get into the practice of not just shutting our mouths and saying nothing, but letting the Lord anoint us so that we can speak wellness, good into bad situations, bless the situations. So there's life in words that are spoken with God's approval, in God's will, prompted by God's Holy Spirit. The words of His Word, Scripture, are life-giving. Speak God's Word. Peter told us earlier in this book, 1 Peter, that we are born again by the power of His Word. Power of God's Word. There's blessing in the words of life, and there's life in the words of blessing. Words of cursing bring, they breed death and discouragement and defeat and depression. Words of faith or blessing bring faith. Words of cursing bring doubt. Words of blessing bring love. But words of cursing bring fear. We're going to read in James chapter 3, because in here, as we read this, we're going to just quickly point out that there are seven figures that are used, illustrations, talking about the power of the tongue. Now, we're not going to have time to look at all these seven. In fact, we're just going to go through them quickly. I'll name them in a minute, and I'll kind of touch on a couple of them. But it's important that we understand death and life in the tongue. And what the tongue, your words, can and do to your life. James chapter 3, verse 1. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, word, he's perfect. Able also to control, bridle his own body, his whole body. Indeed, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. A poorly placed word can just set all kinds of people on fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that your tongue, my tongue, it defiles your whole body. Your tongue is your worst enemy. You need to learn how to make it an ally. It sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. People, sometimes they create their own hell in life by the words they say. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness, the similitude of God. Now notice the conclusive observation now made in verse 10. Out of the same mouth, my mouth, your mouth, proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth water, fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Of course not. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives? No. Or a grapevine bear figs? No. Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. So what are the seven illustrations here? A bit in a horse's mouth, a rudder on a ship, a fire starting a forest fire, untamed animals, a deadly poison, a tree and a vine yielding mixed fruit, and a spring of water. In each of these illustrations, there's truth that applies to the power of the tongue. Now, like I said, I'm not going to go through all of them right now. But, for example, a bit in a horse's mouth and a rudder on a ship. Both have to do with direction. Horsey, let's go this way. Turn the wheel. Come on, ship, we're going to make this turn. We're going to go this way. Okay, it all has to do with direction. So our tongue has to do with determining the direction of our life more than you know, more than you want to acknowledge. Especially in times of difficulty, when you're going through the storms of life. What you say will determine the direction that you go. Back in verses 7 and 8, James tells us that people can't tame the tongue. But it's not hopeless, okay? The good news is there is a power that can tame the tongue. The power of the Holy Spirit. This is one reason why Jesus calls us to be Spirit-filled and to live a Spirit-filled life. I mean, stop and think about it. The birth of the church, the day of Pentecost, right? What happened at the birth of the church? People were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues, languages, tongues. Given new words to speak that they had never learned. So at the very beginning of the church, the tongue was the primary and focal point of impact. When the Holy Spirit came. The tongue was released to speak blessing. They were speaking the wonderful works of God. Again, James says people can't tame the tongue. And I know there's got to be at least one person. Well, Pastor, I'm not that bad. Listen. You don't have to scream and rage to evidence an untamed tongue. Some of the softest spoken words can carry some of the deadliest destructive acid. And as James said back in verse 6, he says that it's human nature. It's in all of us. The Lord wants to immerse our tongues in the flow of His Spirit so that our tongues are submitted to Him. When that's done, we become people who are fluent at blessing others, speaking blessing into situations. Very quickly, there's two pictures in the Old Testament that have to do with our blessing, being people of blessing and to minister blessing, to speak blessing. Abraham and the Old Testament priesthood. You see, Abraham was told by God, he said, I will bless you, I will make you a blessing, and through you the people of the earth will be blessed. Well, that's just wonderful for Abraham, but what about us? Glad you asked. Galatians chapter 3. Look with me at verse 8. The scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, that God would open up and receive and embrace and save Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. So then, those who are of faith, put their faith and trust in Jesus, believe the scripture, are blessed with Abraham the believer. Drop down to verse 29, the same chapter. He says, and if you are born again, if you belong to Jesus Christ, if you're Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. You're part of that family and heirs according to the promise. The promise of what? That God will bless us, He'll make us a blessing, and that other people will be blessed through us. We who are born again are heirs to that promise. That blessing is conveyed by what we say, our speech and our service, or our actions, the things that we do. Doers of the word are blessed. Now, the Old Testament priesthood in Numbers chapter 6, notice this carefully. It shows the way that blessing was done through the ancient priesthood. In Numbers chapter 6, verse 22, it says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron, who was the high priest, and his sons, who were priests. This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. How do I bless them? Say, speak to them, say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and give you peace. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you. Be gracious to you and give you peace. So they shall put My name on the children of Israel. Notice this now. And God says, I will bless them. In other words, God is the one who's going to back up your words. We are to speak God's blessing upon people. Well, if God wants people blessed, why doesn't He just bless them? Well, because He has chosen to work His life, His love, His power through people. I'm not God. This is the way He's chosen. I'll let Him be God and just do what He says. You say, well, I'm not an Old Testament priest. No. There are four places in the New Testament that says that today the priesthood is lived out by people who are born again. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 and 9, and also in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 6, and chapter 5, verse 10. So, what we do as priest of the Lord, you don't have to be standing in a pulpit doing it. You are a priest. It's the priesthood of every believer. There's so much in that, but anyway, what we do with our tongues is a point of stewardship. Stewarding our priestly ministry to speak blessing. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 12. Let's look at beginning of verse 35. He says, the good man brings out of his good treasure what is good. The evil man brings out his evil treasure, out of his evil treasure, what is evil. But notice this, I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. You know, everything you say is being recorded. Ooh. And we'll have to give an account for the things that we say. For by your words, you will be justified. By your words, you will be condemned. Again, James makes it clear that we have the responsibility and privilege to bless with our words. Now, there are many blessings in God's word that we can communicate to others. Now, Mike, I've given you three. I'm not going to do Jude 24 and 25. You've got those written in your notes, but I'm just going to read the first two. I want you to see these. The first one, it says, now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, this is a blessing that you can speak. You say, well, really, okay, there's a lot in there. I have to memorize the whole thing. Well, probably good for you. But no. Let me just tell you how I take this blessing and speak it. I say, may the God of peace, who raised Jesus from the dead, work in you what is well-pleasing, and complete in you every good work to the glory of God. That's speaking blessing into somebody's life. Break it down to its essential points and speak that. Well, will that count if I don't say the whole thing? Yes, it will count. You know how many times Paul paraphrases from the Old Testament? He says, and the prophet said this. And he doesn't match word for word. It's okay. Romans chapter 15. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. I'm going to stop right there just for a moment. Can I read the reverse of this? Now, the God of hope is not going to fill you with joy and peace when you're doubting. It comes through believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, again, I want to look at this word hope, because most of us, when we think of hope, well, you know, it's like, wow, I sure hope I have a good Christmas this year. I sure hope it doesn't rain. In other words, it's just wishful thinking. That's what we've reduced hope to. Hope in Scripture is not that. It is a confident expectation. It is confidence. That's what we sang about. God's promises. We're confident. We're confident in His faithfulness. And when you have biblical hope, you have this confident expectation that God is bringing good into your life. That's what joy is. So that you have hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You have confidence. These passages have these common denominators. They speak words that have to do with encouragement. They foster faith. They're stabilizing and they're strengthening people in the way of the Lord. They offer the promise of God's peace and hope and support, the certainty of His blessing in their life. All this is conferred into people's lives by God's name. In other words, what it means is it's not humanistic. In other words, it's not just saying good things to you to make you feel good. You see, there's two ways to speak. And when we think about flattery, this is not what we're talking about. Flattery is saying nice, kind, wonderful things about you because I want something from you or out of you. That's what flattery is. But when we're speaking blessing, we're speaking what we believe God has put in our heart to say to build you up. It puts something in you. It's for your benefit. It's for your good. So, it's coming through my lips, but ultimately it's from the throne of Almighty God. He's the one who makes it a reality. It's not arbitrary. Oh, hey, you want to be blessed with something? What would you like me to bless you with? And I'll bless you. How about a new car? Or that every deal you make in business will be flawless and trouble-free. How about that? Does that sound good to you? All right. No, these blessings are based on what's revealed in God's Word. Now, there may be times that a new car or a business deal that God will bless you with, and somebody will confirm that, but it's just not arbitrary. These words spoken to one another in faith by the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit, they are life-begetting and powerful and need to be spoken. Here's where it comes from. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, go back to God's Word, the Scripture, I believed, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore speak. It's when you believe the promises of God, and you begin to speak the promises of God. I know this is what it looks like. It looks like my world is burning down around me. Smell the smoke. Bring your weenie roast material. Here we go. Marshmallows, the whole works. because my life is going up in smoke. That's what's happening around you. But then, because you know the Lord and you know God's calling and purpose for your life, that you begin to speak something different than what's going on. It's not denying circumstances, what's going on around you. Rather, it is declaring the will of God over what you're seeing right now. This is what God did in what God had Abraham do in Romans chapter 4. He says, you call those things which be not as though they were. The promise of God in the midst of all this, that my God will make a way. So my world may be burning right now, but Jesus is with me just like he was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Let it burn. It's not going to touch me. My God is going to bring me through. And on the other side of this, God's going to promote me. He's going to bless me. Do you believe that? I don't know. I look pretty bad right now. And we're looking at our losses instead of looking at the one who provides. Grow in your believing God's word. Grow in the spirit of faith. Believe in speaking blessing. Let life flow. Leave a deposit wherever you go. Let me just ask, simple way to bless. Could I just invite all of you, please, 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 your pastor, I'm asking you, I'm begging you. Every time you go to pray, would you include these? And I'm talking about, man, you're sitting down to eat lunch or dinner. Whenever it is you eat. Lord, we thank you for the food. I mean, if you've ever been to my house, you've been out to eat with me, 90% of the time, this is what I pray. Something like this for the food. Lord, thank you for the food. Thank you. You said you'd bless our food, our drink. You'd take sickness away from us. We thank you for our gathering here. And now, Lord, would you bless our church, bless our family, bless our nation. I've made that a regular habit, whether I'm with anybody or not. It's, Lord, bless our church, bless our family, bless our nation. Because we got too many people cursing our nation right now. And there's a lot wrong. And that's why it's all the more important that we speak blessing. How I talk to my spouse, my wife, how you talk to your husband or wife, how you talk to your children, it will affect you as well as them. Every one of us can remember when we were kids, the harsh things that a teacher, a coach, a parent, a respected adult said to us. And the way they said it, it still reverberates in our being. First of all, you need to let the Lord help you overcome that. But you never want to be that person. Let's speak blessing where the Lord directs us to speak blessing and prompts us to. Let's be people of blessing, believers who bless with the power of speech. Proverbs 15:4 says, the tongue brings healing. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Now, I want you to stay with me because we're wrapping up, okay? But I want to speak this one over you right now. It's taken out of Romans chapter 15, into your life, into your family, into your circumstances. May the God who gives endurance, you can outlast whatever it is you're going through because you have the everlasting one living in you and he's with you. He never leaves you. He's not going to quit on you. He's not going to forsake you. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and one mouth, your mouth, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I just wrap this up? I mean, I could have come out and said this at the very beginning, and I think you would have got it, and we could have dismissed 30 minutes ago. But you know, preachers, we don't do things that way, do we? blessing can neutralize the death syndrome that's at work in the world around us and that's working against us. Do you understand that this planet is under a curse? The curse just is. You don't have to do anything to activate the curse. Weeds grow in your garden. You ever notice that? You don't have to go plant weed seeds in your garden. No, they're just there. Where do they come from? I don't know. Where do the mosquitoes and chiggers come from after winter? That makes sense to me, but anyway, the curse just is. It's there. You know, we can compound it by speaking curse, by agreeing with it, why this is lousy and that's bad and blah, 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 this, that, and the other. But what we need to do is recognize that blessing is not automatic. God is the one who brings blessing, and he wants to bring blessing to you and through you. Blessing must be applied. It must be utilized and directed. I mean, think about in Scripture so often. For instance, Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And any place in Scripture, Moses with the 12 tribes, he directed blessing to each of the tribes, to each of the sons specifically. And this will happen through Joseph. This will happen through Judah. This will happen through Simeon. On and on. It needs to be directed. Speak blessing and direct it at your children, at your boss. There's no redeeming him, Pastor. I think he's kin to the Antichrist. He didn't have 666 written here, but he's got 665.9. I mean, he's bad. No. Speak blessing. And the thing about it is, because the curse just is, blessing has to be applied more than once. You ever notice that? You can't just sweep or vacuum once. There, I never have to do that again. Does that work? No, that never works. It'd be great if it did. But dirt happens. It's part of the curse. And you have to keep applying the broom, the vacuum. And so it is with blessing. You've got to keep applying it, keep speaking it, and it will overcome the death syndrome. Heavenly Father, sanctify my tongue. Okay, now that pause from the prayer. What in the world does that mean? Sanctify my tongue. Well, everybody knows, or if you've been in church any length of time, you know, sanctify means to set apart for God's use. But it is the proper use of something. When we pray, God, sanctify my tongue, and we're saying, Lord, I want the things that I speak out of my mouth, I want proper use. The proper use of my words is to edify, to build up, to bless people, not to tear them down. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't speak the truth and say, Mr. or Missy, you need to change. You're talking to your son or daughter, this can't continue. No, correction ultimately is to build people up. You're going wrong here. You're going to crash and burn. Okay? Let's go back to the prayer. Let's say it again, though. Father, sanctify my tongue.
Father, sanctify my tongue.
Fill me with your spirit.
Fill me with your spirit.
That my tongue,
will be an instrument
of healing and hope.
Of healing.
Of life and wholeness.
Of life and wholeness.
By your spirit.
By your spirit.
So that everywhere I go.
So that everywhere I go.
Fruitfulness can come.
Fruitfulness can come.
Instead of barrenness.
Instead of barrenness.
Hope.
Hope.
Instead of discouragement.
Instead of discouragement.
People lifted up.
People lifted up.
Instead of put down.
Instead of put down.
And stepped on.
Stepped on.
Overflow me now.
Overflow me now.
With your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Father, as we have prayed, we thank you that you are at work in us. Teach us, Lord, to cooperate with the help, the grace that you're giving us, so that we don't frustrate it, that we don't become our own worst enemy by cursing our cars and vehicles and tools and other things that just aren't working right. Yes, Lord, we can get frustrated in those situations, but Lord, let us speak blessing in and over those things. Help us to change our habits so that we become fluent at blessing. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. God bless you. Next week, we're going to take up another aspect of blessing that is very, very powerful too. We'll look forward to seeing you then.